Hey there, internets. Welcome to the ROI of Why, your podcast that's all things business as it relates to impact and purpose. I'm Andrew Tuzon. I am the Vice President of Creative at FireSpring. And as always, I am joined by the very lovely Angie Kubicek. Homie, how are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Doing well.
You know, so...
How are you?
I'm good.
I don't ask that enough,
I like that, though. That's nice. Right? No, I'm doing really good. I'm really enjoying the Do More Good conference. Been able to, like, absorb a lot of stuff and just, like, vibe on some really, really cool energy and see all the people that are actually doing it, not just talking about it.
Yes.
But my favorite part has been the conversations we've been having, right? Like, we get to have these one-on-ones with these people that are doing amazing things with their lives. Yes. And we get this like rare opportunity for this intimate one-on-one connection where we get to just pick the brains.
Yes, and get a little bit more of the behind the scenes and the curtains of what drove them to take action.
See, and that's the piece that I love.
Yes.
Like finding out the pathway to purpose. It's just, it's cool. So we do have to give a shout out to Do More Good Conference as one of our title sponsors of the show. If you're not familiar with the conference, head on over to domoregoodconference.com. Check out what they're about. Look at the speaker roster. It is just full of hitters. So many, so many influential people who really know their stuff, and it's really cool. Our next sponsor isn't actually a sponsor yet, and so I really just want to challenge everybody out there to help me make this happen.
This is like our end goal, I think, a little bit.
This is, I think, the thing, right? So I'm going to get a little vulnerable.
It's okay.
I have a problem, Angie. I know you know about it full and well. I consume 2 cases of LaCroix a day. Lime is my favorite. This pamplemousse, it's pretty tight.
That's my favorite flavor.
It's good, right?
It is.
And I drink a lot of it. And so for all of our listeners out there, if you could just like...
He's not lying. I can see the shock on poor Dustin's face right now.
No, it's
and he
2 cases,
full
dude.
Of it,
every day on the way to the
joke.
Office, I stop at Target. I know all of the morning workers at Target on a first name basis. And I buy 2 cases of LaCroix every morning before I come into the office. It's the nectar of life for me. So for all of our listeners out there, if you could tag LaCroix...
Yes.
And help us start a conversation about what it looks like for maybe us and LaCroix to do good together. Man, bucket list item check right there.
That would be massive.
That would be so cool.
If we could get LaCroix to join us on the Do More Good path.
Yeah.
And maybe give you a little bit of a discount on the expenses of LaCroix.
I don't know. I feel like I'm funding their company.
Yeah, they're like, Andrew Tuzon cannot cut out.
So today's episode is going to be amazing, though, right?
Yes.
We've got just an amazing mind in the room, as always. I'm really excited to dig into the conversation. Angie, I'm going to let you do the intro today.
Thanks. So I get to be the one to
I'm reciprocating, right? You asked me how I'm doing, right? So it's like... It's a two-way street.
It is. All right. So we are here with Kevin Hancock from Hancock Lumber, and he is joining us from Maine, which is super exciting that he's here in Lincoln with us. And we're going to talk about what his company is doing to drive impact in their communities. But what I really kind of want to dive into first is you guys have been around for a century, plural, 1848, right, is the inception. So as a company that's been around since for a very long time, how have you guys made impact a part of your guys' mission, and what did that path look like?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's probably impossible to be in business for a long, long period of time without taking a long, holistic, collaborative view of the purpose of the company. To begin with, you know, a lot of other things factor in. You need luck along the way and so forth. But
gotta love the luck.
Yeah. And we specifically, one of the businesses we're in is we grow trees. And the primary species of tree that grows on our land is the eastern white pine tree. And it takes 80 to 100 years to grow one. So I tell people we've been in business since before the Civil War, but have essentially only had 2 crops of trees. So couldn't be in the business of growing pine trees without taking a long view of what you're doing.
I think you just described the longest sales cycle I've ever heard of in my life.
it's a long one. I have a friend on the other side of town who has a farm stand, and every fall when I go over there, she grows pumpkins and corn and potatoes. And I'm like, you mean you plant those in the spring and you harvest them in the fall? What a great idea.
What kind of witchcraft are you running over there?
And what's kind of like your background within kind of this impact movement moment? Like, what made you tick and get involved with where we're at?
Yeah, I love that phrase you used that essentially was the what brings you here? What's the road that brought you here? So for me, it was two things. In 2010, at the peak of the last of the housing and mortgage market collapse, I began to have trouble speaking. When I would go to talk, all the muscles in my throat would spasm and squeeze and contract, and talking, the simple act of talking, suddenly was super difficult. And after about a year of searching for doctors, I was diagnosed with a rare voice disorder called spasmodic dysphonia, which affects only maybe 25,000 people North America. So I suddenly was trying to help run our company through a very difficult economic time without really being able to use my voice. And I'll come back to that, but flash forward a couple years later, I started traveling to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation up in the, not too, too far from here, up in the southwest corner of South Dakota, a place I've now been almost 20 times, and there I ran into an entire community that did not really feel heard, that felt forgotten, marginalized, left behind, and without a voice. And those two events stacked very close together changed my life. First, I knew for the first time what it felt like to not feel heard because of my voice disorder. And then second, at Pine Ridge, I really realized that there were lots of ways to lose your voice in this world, and came to actually think about the very purpose of a life on earth to begin with, perhaps as being to self-actualize, to find your voice and to share it with the world. And then got thinking about leadership and concluded that throughout history, leaders, unfortunately, had probably done more to limit and restrict and intimidate the voices of others than to help free them. And then it kind of hit me that because I was in a position of leadership running a company, that my voice restriction, which I'd only previously thought of as a pain in the neck or a hindrance or a liability, was actually a gift and an invitation and a blessing to do what I could to strengthen the voices of others, especially those who didn't always feel heard. So then back to work, I got this simple but really exciting idea of, well, what if everybody led this company? What if leadership was shared? And what if everybody in this company could be given a voice? Wouldn't that be a much more successful business track? But much more importantly, socially, wouldn't that be more valuable?
Wow.
So long story short, that's what brought me here.
That's like the most powerful story I feel like I've heard.
The poetry of you losing your voice, leading you to help other people find theirs, like
goosebumps.
That's on a whole, that's a whole nother level. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us too.
That's, the other thing amazing. That's been super cool, although it's sporadic, is in the process of kind of surrendering to that, I've actually been getting my voice back a bit. It's not perfect. You can hear it's not perfect, but if you heard me a year or two ago, it would have been dramatically different.
Really?
And so I'm having a lot of fun taking on a voice disorder that medically is diagnosed as incurable. But I've really come to believe that the brain is pliable.
Right.
And whatever track it went on to mess up the speaking, if you could kind of center yourself from within and make peace with that, you could send it on the same track.
Like almost reverse engineer
it. Why couldn't it leave the same way it came?
So have you dug into the rabbit holes of other people that, you know, have experienced this disorder, and have people been able to rebound like you're saying? Like, is that, are you the pioneer in that space?
It's a super short list.
Wow.
That's incredible though, that you're seeing gains again though. Like,
yeah, making, it's exciting.
That's really
so
cool.
So yeah, so it, so my whole life in a lot of ways has become about it's the context through which I see the world now is helping everybody find their voice. And it's why this conference is such a cool event. And it's also why I think work can be so powerful, because if you think about adulthood, where in the world can adults find safe communities to self-actualize? And there probably are lots of candidate sources, but work is actually a great one, because the more everyone comes into their own voice, the better the organization does. And I'm not after it to improve the organization. That's like just becomes an outcome
it's just a byproduct.
Of what happens. Yeah. It's what happens.
That's incredible. It's so cool. So when you kind of, so you went through this like kind of tough time as a company during 2010, and then you kind of went through some personal things with your voice, and then you went to this reservation and just kind of had your mind blown a little bit. How was bringing that back to your team and kind of this? So I know what it's like when Jay Wilkinson comes back to our office sometimes after going out and having this life-changing moment. And he's like, the thing. And I'm like, oh, bring me along because I need to get there. And he has this fire and then he can get it built in the rest of us. So what was that like for you? And how did your team members and other leaders respond when you came back?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And it was super tricky at first because I didn't know the end of the story at the time. And I didn't really know where the story was headed. All I really knew was that I was searching, which is something I've since come to see is a universally human endeavor. That's what we do. We're searching for meaning or direction or healing or a path. And at Pine Ridge there on the Northern Plains, I there was just something about that place, the power of nature, the significance of the story, the people that live there, their resilience. And it was very generative for me. And this became quite cool too, because for generations, people have been going there to Pine Ridge to help fix, change, or save them. And I didn't have any inclinations to do that. I was going there because it was actually a place that was serving me. And and once I realized that, I really started talking about that with the friends I made at Pine Ridge, because I wanted them to understand that they actually had so much there to give to the world. And it wasn't just a place where help had to be brought to them, that they had so much already that they were holding that can and will help the world, and certainly was helping me.
Wow. That's incredible. So when you're making this transition and you're like, you said, you know, the process of getting the team, you know, up to speed and whatnot, like, is there one thing you can point to that was like the biggest challenge, or like, if you could go back and like do one thing over, like, is there a thing like that for you, or is it more just like an organic process of growth almost?
Yeah, it was funny. The biggest thing that, it really was simple. I realized that I just needed it to become the change I wanted to see in the world. I think that is that Gandhi who perhaps first said that. And I could see every challenge and opportunity within our company suddenly as something that that I could effectuate by not focusing on them, the people that worked at the company, but by focusing on myself and becoming something different. And since then, I've really tried to encourage our leadership team to do something that's very counterintuitive in business, which is to manage other people less and to supervise other people less and to spend a lot more time focusing on becoming the change that you would like to see. Because really, we all know that change actually only ever comes from within. And therefore, the only change we can ever really create is within ourselves. But then when we do change within ourselves in an authentic way, a vulnerable way, I think it starts to give permission and pathway to others to let down their guard, mm-hmm. to be vulnerable and to do the same.
Yeah. Like leading by example almost in that, right, you know?
Yeah, and just trying to get yourself right.
Right, exactly. That's actually, that's a concept that we explore on this show quite a bit, where we talk about, like, you know, people are chasing external conditions, trying to make themselves happy, and none of that ever matters unless inside you're happy first, right? Or you're good with where you're at, or you know what your purpose is, or like, it all starts there before anything out here matters, right?
Right.
So I love where your head's at, and like your perspective on it, I think is just incredible. It's awesome.
Thank you.
So how is this, as you guys have kind of developed over the last decade nearly as a company, like what has been your community's response or your clients and partners' response to the shift that you've had as an organization?
I think initially there was this, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on, period, you know, because there I am. I think between 2012 and 2014, I went to Pine Ridge 6 or 7 times and was bringing all this stuff home and ideas home. But I think once people saw how authentic it was, uh-huh. and how the ideas I was bringing back were actually really fitting well into a new vision for a new culture for the company, that suddenly everybody mm-hmm. started to embrace it. Because who doesn't want to find their voice deep down inside?
Right.
And who doesn't want to help others do the same deep down inside? So it's kind of one of those causes that that everybody, pretty much everybody, can get behind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we really got focused on this idea of becoming what I've come to talk about as an employee-centric company, where the first mission of the company is to improve the lives of the people who work there.
Yeah.
And then everything else that follows, whether it's legendary customer care or improved efficiency or profitability, is actually just an outcome of that first mm-hmm. core goal.
It's just a ripple effect.
Yeah. So I've actually, for example, stood in front of a big room full of customers and said, you know, the old saying, the customer comes first. I took a deep breath and I was sweating before I said this the first time. I said, you know, that old saying, the customer comes first. I don't actually believe that's true.
Do you like pause after you say that for a minute for dramatic effect?
I did. And then there's a phrase in Maine. Do you know the term wicked? In Maine, it actually means good.
Right. Yep.
So I said,
I feel like Andrew owns that word maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I go there sometimes.
So what we like to say now is the customer comes a wicked close second.
Yeah.
So we're super into our customers and we know they're very important, but they don't come first. The people who are gonna make their products mm-hmm. and provide their services, they come first.
Yep.
And if we get that right, the customer experience is bound to be right.
Exactly. Yeah. Because people are feeling that fulfilledness, and so they'll give it back to your customers.
Well, and it's real too, right? Like it just happens. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Tell me about the book though. Let's unpack that, right? I've been seeing the book in the hands of many throughout the conference for the last couple of days. Hit us with what's the focus of the book?
Yeah. Right? So like, the book's titled Not For Sale, Finding Center in the Land of Crazy Horse. And it chronicles my first 6 trips to the Pine Ridge Reservation after I had lost my voice, while I was searching for my voice in a community that was searching to regain its full authentic voice. And the book is really about every part of that: my search, their search, the unlikely list of things, super unlikely list of things I felt we had in common in our search.
Yeah, sure.
And so and the book is really a bit of a memoir that takes a look at those first couple of years of traveling back and forth to Pine Ridge and really trying to help tell a bit about their modern story. You know, I get thinking about history and what I learned in history about the winning of the West and America's manifest destiny. And I remember learning about the Battle of Little Bighorn and Custer's mm-hmm. Last Stand, and that was it.
Right.
And really, There was no mention of what happened to all of these people who already lived here, you know, and this whole notion that Columbus discovered a new world, which is not actually true. No. People already was new to him. But people, lots of people already lived here. And I just felt really inspired to help in a small way, shine a light on their voice. I think because I was just so tuned into what it felt like to not have one.
Let me hit you with a proposition real quick. So I have a book, a copy of my book here with me today, and I will trade you for a copy of your book so we can give that away to one of our listeners.
Love it.
So that way they can connect with you in that space. Because that sounds like an amazing read. And to be frank, before this episode airs, I'm going to read it before it gets into your hands, whoever wins that. So it'll be slightly used, but I'm pretty crazy about my books. So it'll be
it might even have some notes in it.
For your convenience though, you're welcome.
Right.
But yeah, like let's make that happen.
Love it. Absolutely.
Good. Good. I always like when the proposition is accepted.
That would have been really awkward if you would have been like hard pass, but I'll still give you my book. I don't want your book.
I'm not interested in your book though. Like how many pages can you write about LaCroix?
I should. A lot. I feel like you could, each could be a chapter, which could be really deep. LaCroix, if you're listening, don't forget. So I think what's people probably, if they were looking at the bio of the what this podcast episode is going to be about, we're probably like, oh, Hancock Lumber. I think probably what we've talked about is nowhere near maybe what they were thinking the setup was going to be. But I do want to talk about that you guys are in the lumber industry and the sustainability of it. And I have family in Ohio who actually sells trees out. So I understand what it can do from like an individual family's economy. But what is the law? Like where has your company kind of helped within where the perceptions within the logging industry or, you know, using up the trees and sustainability throughout all of that? What's kind of like your company's stance around maybe the perception or misperception people have?
Yeah, great question. One way I think about that is, well, let me start with this, that any, almost any resource, I think, that's used sustainably can be socially valuable by definition because it's sustainable.
Right.
So it's really never about, or rarely maybe about the resource. It's about whether or not it's being used sustainably.
Right.
And used sustainably, wood is an amazing resource. Trees are because they are renewable,
right,
recyclable, and biodegradable. And the renewable part is amazing. So in our forest, when we go in and do a harvest, we harvest a few of the trees. We leave most of the trees. And to regenerate the forest, all we have to do, as I like to say, is nothing. We just have to do it, be willing to do it for a very long time.
Right. I mean, again, hundreds of years.
Yeah, right. If you leave that area alone, it will reforest itself. And while we want to be, everyone wants to be smart and efficient about consumption, the truth is that humans do have needs. Housing is one of those needs. And when you look at all the possible materials on Earth that could be used for housing, wood procured sustainably is, I think, probably the best one. And one of my favorite little plays on this is if you want to encourage people to grow more trees, then when you have housing choices, you should try to buy things made out of wood. And I always tend to go back to a pumpkin for whatever reason, for example. So let's imagine that everybody decided that pumpkins were bad for the environment and they stopped buying them. What would farmers do? They'd stop planting pumpkins. And the same thing happens with trees on private land, that when you use wood products, you send a message back to the market that trees are valuable,
that
timberland is valuable, and that growing trees is valuable.
I love that. I think something that, I don't know, when you get into these like discussions about materials and resources, I think you hit the nail on the head in that it's how are we then being responsible with how we're using the resources at our disposal and not just like over consuming, which is a huge challenge for, I think, a lot of people to keep that as the perspective of the conversation.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. So tell me, like, for our listeners out there, like, if they want to learn more about you or they want to buy a copy of your book, like, where do they go online? Or their social media URL? What, you know, hit us with some of that.
Well, first, they can try to win your copy, right?
Right.
That's
right.
The big best way. But then they could go to my website, which is kevindhancock.com. Okay. D is in David. Or you could go to Amazon and you can find the book there. Those are probably the two best places to get it. Or if you come to the conference, you can grab one here today or tomorrow, right?
Perfect. And we'll make sure that we link that in the show notes too.
But
thank you.
This was awesome though. Like your story is super inspiring. And like, I love just the perspective that you bring to the table. It's fresh. It's really nice to be able to have a real conversation with somebody that gets it on the level that you do, right?
Well, I appreciate that, and I have an affinity for what you do because when you think about it, you're helping, like right now, to give me a voice, and you help give a voice to others who have ideas that are hopefully important to share. So
I appreciate
thanks
that.
To both
thanks.
Of you.
Normally, I would say we're just two nerds with microphones, but you put it in such a nice way.
I know. Yeah, it's like, now I feel a little warm and fuzzy inside.
Right. No, that was good. So, yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure just picking your brain a little
bit.
It
was my pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
What an amazing story, right? Like,
just on so many different levels. I mean, not letting something that's happened to you then like hold you back and just like so many things that just you want to grab onto and resonates. And
we've encountered a couple stories in the show so far where like, you know, a scenario or a thing that happens in your life that a lot of people would like shut down through, you know, experiencing that. But then it becomes this thing that just like inspires them to do more with their life.
Yes.
And it like is the fuel to the fire. And that to me is so poetic and just amazing to watch.
And
you know?
I feel super lucky that we also get to like hear the stories firsthand and then just very reflective on how, okay, what would I do in that moment? And I hope I'm brave enough to like step up to the plate.
Right.
But you never really know. And so to hear Kevin speak about he did step up to the plate.
Right.
And then how he not only did it to be like, no, I won't be knocked down, but I'm now going to take this as an analogy to give this community a voice, like whole nother level.
Like an entire community too, right? It's not like, it's pretty incredible. And I'm really excited to like follow him and see how this continues to grow and evolve, you know, with time and just like his reach.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
And definitely have to read the book. I feel like it's one of those eye openers. We got to speak with J. Cohen Gilbert a couple episodes ago, and he really reflects on history and how that should be shaping our future. And just it keeps coming up throughout the podcast now. And I just think it's something that we as leaders, humans, and people who want to do more, we have to continue to learn the lessons, and this is another great opportunity.
Yeah, well said. So let's talk about the book real quick, right? So for everybody listening at home, you know, whatever platform you're on right now, however you got to this episode, hop into those comments and hit us with your biggest takeaway, right? We want to be able to hear the feedback. We want to see what you guys are learning and gleaning from these conversations. And for you hopping in and hitting us with that feedback, you're going to automatically be entered into the drawing to win this book. And we'll just kind of pick that guy at random. And we'll blast that out on social media and we'll go from there. But also to anybody else that, you know, isn't the lucky recipient, make sure you hop into the show notes and check out the book online and snag up a copy.
Yes.
Get your read on. So, well, homie, as always,
been
so
real.
Much fun. Yeah.
Super
I love
fun.
It. And for everybody at home, we appreciate you tuning in. And until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.